Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you could join us. And then as well as those tuning in Atlanta at 106 Live, glad you all could join us as well. Mike Dietrich is with us today to talk to us not only about his best-selling book, Renew and Sustain, but what it's been like for him to share an important message that has not only been good for businesses, but for us as individuals as well. The subtitle of the book is A Cutting-Edge Approach to Being Socially Responsible, Environmentally Conscious, and Incredibly Profitable for Businesses, Schools, and Government. We're going to talk to Mike not only about this journey that began for him almost 10 years ago, but also what he hopes you're able to take away from this book that you can then be able to use in your own life. Mike, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, going really well. One of the things you talk about in the book, Mike, is of course, all of us now are part of this global civilization, and because of that, we definitely can't be able to look just to others to be able to fix the problems. We have to realize our own part as well. What has that part of your journey been like for you, to show individuals how they can be able to, one person at a time, be able to affect the world around them?
Well, it's an interesting process because first you have to figure out how you can create some change. So first I've gone through and actually quantified sustainability and developed the metrics around that in order to be able to figure out how we can assess where we currently are and how we can improve that. A great example of that is somebody's thermostat in their house. And then that scales up to an office building, that scales up to a school. And what that means is when you are not home in your house, you can turn back the temperature. If it's the summertime, you would make it 80 degrees, say. And then when you're there, you turn it down to 72, 75 degrees. But the system would work, would not work as hard to keep that temperature, and you still keep the humidity low, so you can reduce your utility bills by 20%. And the same thing happens for schools and larger office buildings. So if you do this at your place of work and you're doing this at your home and you're having that conversation, you're able to save money in your own budget, but you're also able to save money for your company, which could mean you get better supplies, you're able to negotiate better leases and terms and conditions. And so looking at things and quantifying things really allows us to drill down and save financially, and a byproduct of that is using less resources.
Right. And so, Mike, for you, I mean, you know, for a lot of people, of course, they realize, you know, that we are in many ways, you know, harming the world around us, and that we have to be able to change the way that we look at not only what we're doing, but also what we're producing, how it's being done, and also our own responsibility with that. When did that responsibility become clear to you? Because I think for you to be able to do the work you've done, not only with this book, but also with Renew and Sustain Consulting, you know, there had to come a place in your life where you realize, okay, you know, I have to do something. When was that moment for you?
So it was really around the time I was at university, and I am an avid outdoorsman. I've hiked over 300 mountains and kayak and ski and ice climb, rock climb, and I just love being in the outdoors. And so I'm reading about acid rain in my textbook, Environmental Science 101. I'm out hiking a mountain in the Adirondacks. I went to school in upstate New York, and I'm looking around and all these balsam firs are brown. I'm like, what is going on? And then I drew the correlation between the fact that the acid rain took the waxy coating off the needles, and it gets so cold there in the winter that without that layer of protection, it killed the plants. So I'm reading something in my textbook about this real world situation, and then I'm actually seeing it in the actual environment. And that whole entire process seemed to replicate itself. I went down to Mexico, and I was doing work in a sulfur cave studying some fish and how well cave-adapted they were. Meanwhile, the deforestation that was occurring around the cave was impacting the chemistry in the water, which was changing that environment. And you could see how that environmental change was then impacting the people and their ability to live off the rainforest or have to import food from other areas and regions and cut down the rainforest to grow some conventional food so they have a cash crop, so they have some money to buy some other materials so that they can survive. So it was this juxtaposition between trying to just be a good little scientist, for lack of a better term, but then seeing how humans are impacting that. And as an Eagle Scout and somebody that worked in the Scouts for such I was in the Scouts for 11 years of my youth. And one of the things that I learned through the Scouts was if you want to invoke change, you have to work within the system. And so I then dove into construction somewhere around 2004, 2005. And I figured out how we build the way that we build, why we build the way that we build. And as we went into a recession, you started to see the shift amongst large companies that said, hey, we need to streamline and reduce and optimize our performance, reduce our energy consumption. We need to reduce the amount of materials that go into our soda bottles. Coke is a great example of this. They had reduced their plastics in their bottles by 33%. So every fourth bottle is now a free bottle worth of plastic. So they were able to increase their profitability by reducing their material consumption. And so that whole journey for me allows me to go in and figure out why we've done what we've done and then continue to optimize and improve it.
Right, right. And you even talk about in the book, Mike, about, you know, how this process even led you to Renew and Sustain because of what you called in the book your unique point of view and holistic method for discovering and developing sustainable policies and practices. Now, the thing is, I mean, I think for a lot of people, though, I mean, they look at, and I think you talk about even, of course, you know, the world changing, the earth changing, and that we it's evident, but then there is still the hesitance that some people have because they, you know, they have this belief that, you know, there's nothing we can do. You know, this is just something that will pass. I mean, what has it been like for you to actually see people get it, Mike, that they can, as individuals, as businesses, as corporations, that they can be able to not only to help themselves and their bottom lines, but also to be able to ultimately to help the earth in what they're doing?
Well, it's really interesting. So I actually mentored a senior engineering class at McKinley Tech High School here in the District of Columbia this past year. And so what I challenged them to do was look at passive design buildings. And passive design buildings are something that we used to do before air condition and electric lights. We used to bring natural light into our buildings. We used to build our buildings in a way where we could cool them down naturally. And we used to use radiators to heat them often. But looking at a lot of those passive design strategies and looking at how we can incorporate those, I challenged these students to build a passive design house and also do the research into how this is advantageous. And when you actually look at how much, and this is the students were able to dive into this research. And they came back in their final presentations with buildings that were cheaper than the conventional built buildings that had a zero energy cost. So you wouldn't have to worry about having an electric bill every year. And then they were also looking at the fact that housing has become too expensive for the people who need it the most. And you can look at the salaries. For the salaries have not increased as much as the cost of living has increased along the entire demographic from those who are impoverished all the way to those who are extremely wealthy. And so our salary is not being distributed evenly. And to just see it click with these students, these are bright kids, all of them are going to college this fall. And just to see it click. And to see how it related back to their communities that they lived in, that they grew up in, and to see how they could invoke change in their communities, in their life, in their family, in their household by making small changes, optimizing and reducing their energy consumption, and then also being able to implement some really basic technology changes to reduce the cost of housing and make it more affordable for people, because we keep seeing that cost of living going up and the salaries aren't going up. But one of the ways we can mitigate that is by reducing the cost of housing. So they've found a way through this project that they could affect change in their own community with something that's small and something that they can do, which was awesome to see. And it really opened my eyes to 7 different approaches to something that I've been working on over the last 10 years.
Right. For sure. So we're going to talk more about that, what you've been doing the past 2 years. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're speaking today with Mike Dietrich. He's the author of the best-selling book we've been discussing here, Renew and Sustain, a cutting-edge approach to being socially responsible, environmentally conscious, and incredibly profitable for businesses, schools, and governments. We're going to tell you at the end of the broadcast how you can stay connected with Mike, as well as, of course, how you can get the book. So, Mike, you know, what has surprised you the most about the response to this book? Because, you know, again, you know, for a lot of people, this is something that they don't really think a whole lot about, even again, as you were even saying, you know, as you noticed, you know, while you were out, in nature, you're able to see these changes taking place. We know things are happening, but what has it been like for you to actually see people get it and want to be able to do their part to be able to turn things around?
Yeah, there's often a disconnect. And so one of the ways that people don't always understand the relationship that we have to the environment and the global environment, and I get that. A lot of us live in an urban environment, and it's just not part of our day-to-day comings and goings. So the way that it really drives home to people is when you talk about the economics of it, when you talk about being able to reduce your costs, being able to reduce the amount of trips that you have to run to replace light bulbs by selecting the correct light bulbs, it makes a lot of sense. And people are like, I get that. That makes sense to my life. I want to save a couple dollars. I want to save $100 a month. I'll do this if I can have those savings in my budget. And you see the same thing with businesses. They don't necessarily want to move this forward, but when a business makes a commitment to reducing its energy consumption, it's something that then also allows them to market how they've reduced their impact on the environment, and they're optimizing the performance, they're streamlining their materials, and they're having this reduction. And so it also allows them to have a better relationship to the community and to the customer and the consumer. So we can frame it in a way where we're streamlining and optimizing our performance.
I think that is it. So when people, you know, I know you've been, you know, speaking about this, not only, of course, in conversations like this, Mike, but also, of course, in other interviews and then in other settings as well. You know, does it feel like for you that you are accomplishing exactly what you wanted to, not only, of course, with the book, but also with the message you've been able to share with businesses and schools, as you mentioned? Do you feel as though you're getting the result that you wanted when you began this journey almost 10 years ago?
I didn't set out to do everything that I've done 10 years ago. It's really been its own evolution. And as things evolve, my own perspective on this continues to evolve. I recently did a TEDx talk on a zero energy water waste future. And while we've been pushing LEED certification, and that's a great way of advancing our policies and our codes, really what we can work towards as a people is a society where we're capturing, we optimize the efficiency of our buildings that relates to our homes, our schools, our offices, our cities, and we can produce as much energy as we consume. So we have zero energy bills. And if we capture rainwater and we repurpose that rainwater because we've been draining down our aquifers, and that's something that people don't see, it's under the ground. It's something people don't see, but we can measure it in science. And if we can learn how to capture that water and reutilize it, and we have the technology to do that, we can reduce our water consumption by 50% in our buildings, which means when we're having these larger scale droughts that we've seen happen over and over again, if we have less water demand, we're able to persist through a drought in the future that we haven't had yet, or we haven't seen what that looks like. And a zero waste society, San Francisco is becoming a zero waste city. And so everything is compostable, everything is recyclable. And then you demand that of the supply chain. You say, hey, we don't want plastics that we can't recycle because we're trying to have a zero impact on our environment. There's much plastic by volume in the oceans as there is organic life in the oceans. That is a direct impact of what we've done in the world. And if we approach a zero energy water waste future, we'll be able to not only stop polluting the environment and reduce our own costs, but then we'll be able to turn back around and fix the problems that we've created. We've fixed the problem with DDT. We've reduced acid rain. We worked with chlorofluorocarbons, the CFCs that created the hole in the ozone layer, and that's recovering and closing the hole. So we can do the same thing with the carbon that we put in the atmosphere. And the first steps in doing that is driving efficiency and putting in the programmable thermostat, changing out your light bulbs for LED light bulbs. One raindrop is really going to raise the sea, because we're getting to a groundswell where it's a thunderstorm that's coming through in the summer, and it's going to have a large impact.
Yeah, for sure. And again, as you said, I mean, these are things that people can look around them and see, but I think the other thing is realizing that they can do their part. That's what I love about this book cover, is that it really does show that we all have a hand in this, literally. If we want to make this work. And I think that's what you've been able to help us see. Again, everyone, Mike Dietrich has been our guest. The book is called Renew and Sustain, a cutting-edge approach to being socially responsible, environmentally conscious, and incredibly profitable for businesses, schools, and government. It is available through our friends at Amazon.com. The book is. Mike, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up with the work that you're doing?
You can find me at renewandsustain.com. I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under Renew and Sustain.
All right. So definitely make it easy for all of us to stay connected with him. And we've already tagged Mike on Facebook and Twitter, I know, so you guys can find his links there. So make sure you all are staying connected with him and the work that he's doing there. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Mike, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.